Let's think here. All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Nerdcast podcast, coming to you not so live via Skype. I'm here with Nerdcast Jay and Matt.
Hello.
Hey, everyone.
Do not cue the music, Jay. No music this episode.
Going musicless tonight. We're like Napster.
We're going live tonight. Going live.
Yeah. And so, from what I know, this is going to be a Walking Dead heavy episode.
Yeah, I think this is something that we might try to do more often. I think we'll do our own little version of Talking Dead kind of thing. Do our own recap of what we thought about the show, because usually every Monday, after the Sunday viewing, we kind of get on email and discuss whether or not we liked it. Basically, I go, "Hey, Bobby, did you hate the show?" And he usually goes, "Yep, he hated it," but yeah, he watches every week, and we
Right.
kind of get into some details of why we liked it, why we didn't like it, and usually, I usually like I look forward to Jay's wife's reviews of I hated it as well.
Is she pretty
But
critical of it?
she's from the last few episodes. Yeah, she's been more vocal about it. I'll say that. I'm sure Jay,
Yeah.
you two probably talk about you and you would probably do what me and Jen do is we watch it, we talk about it, then we watch Talking Dead and talk about some more while they're talking about it. And it's just a Sunday night ritual at this point of just giving an opinion and thinking and making guesses of what's going to happen next kind of thing. Although it's kind of fun when you're part of like when you watch it with your spouse and she's never read the comic, but I've read the comic kind of thing. I kind of know where they're supposedly gonna go, and she has no clue, and she usually hates it that I kind of knew what was gonna happen, kind of thing. It's kind of fun doing it that way.
Yeah, Aaron reads the comic books, so she's pretty much the same page I am.
And I think that adds to the criticism of it when you know the background of it, and the fact they use the comic as an outline of where they're gonna go with things. You don't get too upset. You don't get too high and low. Where my wife goes crazy, she just goes absolutely crazy when something epic happens or some big plot point happens, and I'm just kind of there chilling. She's like, "Why are you not all emotional about this?" I'm like, "Because I knew it was kind of gonna happen."
Yeah.
But because Joe, you don't read the comic, right?
No, I need to.
Well, no, I think it gives you a whole different. Sometimes it's like with Game of Thrones. I kind of don't want to read the books for Game of Thrones because
Yeah.
I kind of like getting just that version of it. And as far as from the comic standpoint, again, a lot of stuff going on in the show does not take place there. And
In
you get
Westeros.
and you're getting a different story, and but it's with characters that you like. So,
Word, dog, word.
So, what do you want to do, Jay? You want to do just Here's Not Here, episode 4 from this season? Do you want to kind of do a little bit of recap of the whole season?
Let's do a little recap of the whole season.
Yeah, that's cool with me too.
Okay.
First off, I actually just want to say I think there has not been a. I'm looking on IMDb. I don't think there's been a bad episode since episode 10 of last season. So I'd say
Which.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'd say there's been 10 solid episodes in a
Yeah.
row.
Which the show does a good job of ratcheting up the intensity and the pacing of it. It goes pretty fast and there's a lot of action. At least that's what it was last season. It was just really fast, I think.
Right.
And the subplots were all interesting. And but cool. Look, since you got it pulled up, let's do the last couple of episodes from last season. Do a quick little recap of like the last two episodes from last season. Then we can ramp up
Oh,
to
from
this
last
season.
season?
Yeah.
So the last couple.
Let's see.
So they're named. We'll do the last few because they were all
Okay.
really good, I think.
Okay.
So 14, 15, 16 were called Spend, Try, and Conquer. So Spend, that's where Eugene was forced to step up when a run led by Glenn goes awry in Alexandria. Carol uncovers a secret, which that's so generic, but
That was the one, I think, when they're in the warehouse trying to get the supplies.
And
Yeah.
that's when Eugene saves Tara after she gets knocked out from something. I can't remember the exact detail of how she got knocked unconscious, but basically the whole place is going up, it's going up in flames, right? If I remember
Yeah.
correctly, because someone part of the Alexandria group kind of panicked, and they shot. There was a walker that was in full military garb, like in a, what's the thing? It's
Like right gear.
like riot gear, yeah, riot
Yeah.
gear, or bomb squad stuff. And I guess there was explosive on his gear, and when they panicked, then they shot his gear, and I think that exploded, correct? If I'm thinking of it right. And
Something
that's,
along those lines.
yeah, and then so that was also the episode where Deanna's, one of her kids was killed in that episode, if I remember correctly. But Glenn was determined not to leave anybody behind.
Right.
Okay. And then, but that's not the same episode with him and Nicholas and Noah, correct?
Right. That was a
Okay.
different one.
Was that earlier on or was that after that episode? I thought that was one of the last, one of the later episodes, wasn't it?
No, I think that was before.
That was before? Okay. Because I think that episode is pretty important to discuss in regards to episode 3 of this season, because that kind of gives you Nicholas's arc, his story arc, where
Yeah.
you dealt with the cowardice of his character when they were, where were, it was Nicholas, Noah, and Glenn, and they were in a building. I can't remember what they were running, where they, why they were there to begin with, but it's when they were running out, and Nicholas basically traps Noah in that revolving door, and he can't get out. Although he had the opportunity to get Noah out, but he was so scared, he kind of ran off.
Yeah, he left them
And
behind.
that's when Glenn had to watch Noah basically get tore apart right in front of him.
Yeah, that was in the revolving door.
So then what was, okay, so that was like episode, you said that was episode 14 for when
Yeah.
they were in the warehouse and Eugene had to step up. What was
Yeah.
what was 15?
15, you guys have better memories than I do. It was called Try. While out recruiting, Daryl and Aaron find troubling signs of human activity. Back at the safe zone, Carl bonds with Enid, who Joe Dust mistakenly didn't realize was 16, as the tension between Rick and Pete comes to a head.
That was when Daryl and Aaron were out and they were in the semis that
Yeah.
let all the walkers out, and that's the first time we really see the wolves.
Right, yep.
And
And
then that
then
was the big fight between Rick and Pete.
Coral, Coral, don't watch this, Coral.
well, was that the episode where Carl and Enid ended up in the tree?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that was a really awkward moment, I thought. I don't know if they put it in the episode other than to make the audience kind of feel awkward that they were in there. I don't know. I didn't see the whole point of that. But I'm trying. Was this when Rick confronted
Pete.
Pete for the abuse, spousal abuse and child abuse?
Yeah,
In his house, though, correct? That's when the fight started. Or did
right.
they?
Big
Or
fist
did?
fight.
Okay.
He got thrown through the front of the window.
Oh
And
yeah.
then Michonne knocked him out, I think.
And then they were going to have that meeting because they kind of separated Nick, sorry, not Nick, Pete and Rick. And that's when, okay, then the next night was the meeting because that's episode 16. And so that was season finale, correct?
Right, and that's
Okay.
Rick gives his little speech. Pete flips out, grabs the sword, and kills
It was
Wicket.
what's was his name? His name was it
The
Reg?
architect guy. Might have
Right.
been.
Reg, yeah. It was
Yeah.
Reg. He was the what or the husband of Deanna,
Yeah.
and Pete. It was an accidental. He didn't mean to strike at him. It just happened. I guess because he was going to lunge after Rick with the sword. And then Deanna, distraught, goes ahead and gives Rick the okay to execute Pete. And then that leads us into, that's kind
Well,
of where
and
we end. And then that's when
it was
Morgan
also
comes
Glenn
in.
and Nicholas too, where
Oh yeah,
Nick
Nicholas
shot Glenn
he lures Glenn out into the woods, basically.
and shoots him.
And yep. And but Glenn counters that and but decides to be Glenn and not kill him. Kind of defines his character. Not a pacifist by any means, but always trying to see the good in people, I guess, kind of thing. Always hoping that humanity will win over all this, I guess you could say. And then, all right, let's go into current season 6, episode 1,
Yeah.
First Time Again.
Yep.
That's where they're going to lead the herd of walkers out of that quarry.
Which that episode was done very, what do you want to say, Jay? We want to call it Tarantino-esque. Would you guys both agree with that? I kind of, because
That's what they
you kind of
did.
flash back and forth, because this is where you did black and white and color to differentiate
Right.
between the times of when things were happening.
Yes.
Which I
And they
thought
showed a
that
lot of feet, too.
be very Tarantino about it. Foot fetish, episode one. But no, I thought it was a unique way of doing it. As far as flashing between where they were, saying, hey, this was the past and color's the present kind of thing. Something we hadn't seen before, right? Pretty heavy on action, too.
Oh, yeah.
Showing
Yeah.
that, hey, here's the big threat, and we're starting off season six. Like Joe had said, there's no letdown. Like, there was constant action second half of season five, and then they just kept going right through season six.
Dude, Nick Papagiorgio was in it.
Yes, he was.
Let's see. I'm trying to
I
remember.
didn't even
Like,
recognize him at
wait, was
first.
this also the episode? No, was this? No, this wasn't the same episode where the kid goes and follows Rick and Morgan
Yeah.
to bury the dad. Or
Yeah,
was that the
that's the
same
same one.
episode?
That
It is
was
the same
us.
one?
Yep.
Okay.
Because that's how they found the quarry.
That's how they found it. That's right. Okay, my bad.
Right.
So.
And they show that big view, you know, over the quarry, and there's two those two semi trucks, and there's just thousands and thousands and thousands of walkers.
And well, what do you guys think? Do you guys agree with Rick in regards to needing to take precaution and saying we need to take action now to prevent something from happening? Or would you guys say that he was basically jumping the gun and saying, hey, those trucks have kept them at bay for who knows how long, right? I mean, ever since Alexandria was set up, and why mess with it? Why try to take care of it?
I think he did the right thing because they showed as soon as they were.
Oh, did we lose him?
Don't know.
We're having our Skype technical difficulties.
AJ? Part of the live show, folks.
Part
Oh,
of the live, so we're going live. We're going
says
live,
call
so
dropped. Jake
he'll
Tierney.
have to call back in, I guess.
Yeah, it's okay.
But
He can call
because
back.
I guess well, I guess what do you well get, let's get your take. What do you think? Was it the right call, or do you think they should have just waited it out until it actually became a problem? It's kind of like a be a, proactive versus reactive.
Right. I thought it was the right call. And Jay, are you back on there?
Yeah, I got
Okay.
dumped.
No problem. I just heard you were mid-sentence and I heard you just fall off. But no, I agree with Jay. I mean, I don't know what you're gonna say, Jay, but like you said, they showed a scene, or you kind of got cut off when you said they showed the trucks.
They showed two of the semis that fell off one of the cliffs and the
Right.
walkers started getting out.
Yeah. And I think a couple of them were starting to get farther and farther spaced apart anyway, and so they might not all come as a herd, but they'd start trickling through.
Yeah.
Well, and I also questioned, I asked this question when I was watching it, was leading the herd away, because the whole plan was, hey, let's get these guys, let's take them out, what, they say 20 miles away,
Yeah.
and just, follow, by following the noise of the motorcycle. Was leading them away the only course of action they had? Or could they have come up with something else to say, again, fire seems to work. Could they not have come up with a way to basically do a spread of fire?
Yeah.
Light a few. I would think that when they get all herded up like that, you throw a couple of Molotov cocktails over the semis and see what happens, right? I
Yeah, it
mean,
becomes like a Last of Us type thing.
that's the way I'm thinking, man. I just didn't know if leading them away was the right course. I mean, obviously they couldn't kill all of those. I mean, because what when we looked at it, what 10,000 maybe? Or am I overestimating on that or
No,
underestimating?
that's probably about right.
I
There's
mean, there was a ton
tons.
of them, but so I know, them taking them on. Hand-to-hand combat wouldn't have worked, but the fact they didn't even explore or even show, and they didn't show them discussing plans of action. It just seemed like this was all you got. It was just them, hey, we're going to move the semis, let them out, and we're going to lead them away.
Right.
I just don't know if I agree with that. I would have
I
liked to have
mean,
seen some more detail of why they decided to go with that course of action.
you could have set them on fire and then gotten the stragglers to come out.
Yeah,
Yeah.
something like that.
And it
But
kind of shows, though, like this last episode, Morgan, you know, he'd draw them in with fire and stuff, so they're obviously attracted to it, but they also live. It doesn't kill them immediately either, so.
not immediately, but in a different episode, I think we saw where they basically burned into the concrete.
Yeah, so that's true.
It works, like you said, it's not fast. So you'd have to hope that the fire spread and then the semis held in place, the last two, because basically they were all coming through those last two that made a V there, and they were breaking through that one point.
Yeah.
You'd have to kind of hope that those all stay together.
And I guess we don't have to talk about Daryl, because all he's done so far is ride on a motorcycle.
He hasn't been really present in this season at all. No. I agree with you. They haven't really shown him very much, yeah. Wonder if that's on purpose.
Yeah.
They're saving some of his stuff for later.
Or maybe they're going to kill him.
Yeah, there's been spoilers of that outside of what you saw on At Midnight.
Yeah. I don't think they'll do it.
He's starting his own show on AMC where it's a motorcycle show, like a reality show.
Yeah.
And they're thinking because of that, he's going to be off of Walking Dead.
I don't buy it. Not at this point in the story, to be honest.
Yeah, and AMC's going to work with him because that's the most popular character on the show.
Yeah. And if he wants more money, they'll give him more money. It's not like the show's not making them a shit ton of money. What I did like was you're seeing Daryl kind of go out on his own. Not going on his own, but you saw him and Rick butting heads for the first time, I think, because at least from since Daryl's kind of joined the group. And what I mean by that was, if you remember back to season one, when they left Merle on the roof, he was still heavily attached to Merle and was very much an outsider. You remember when he was on Herschel's farm, he wouldn't stay with the rest of the group. He kind of camped on his own.
Yeah.
But ever since they went to the prison, he's basically been Rick's right-hand man, right? I mean, he's basically second command, and those two see eye to eye, and they protect the group. This was the first time I think I've seen in the show where these two, since that merger between the two and basically them becoming the group, they've butted heads on how to deal with this situation as far as Alexandria goes. And what I mean by that, do you guys remember when basically Daryl goes, he wanted to go out and work with Aaron to go recruit more people. And basically Rick said, no, we don't want any more people. This is ours. We don't want to share it. And that was the first little hint why maybe we should give some credence to maybe Daryl might be meeting his end. I don't know. I think it'd be stupid. He's, again, most popular character. He's my favorite character on the show. Tied with probably Michonne and Morgan. But
you know what I don't like about Daryl and Michonne, though? It's like, man, after you've been out there that long, why are you still using a crossbow and a sword? I know that it's like that's part of their characters.
Uh-huh.
That's how they're written, but it's just so dumb to me.
Well,
the crossbow especially. Well, the sword I kind of understand.
Well, unlimited ammo, basically.
No, but you gotta go. You have to go retrieve your arrow every time.
Well, yeah, but you would think at this point, what I would have done as a writer, I would think show Daryl learning how to make his own arrows kind of thing.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what if you run into just a gigantic herd of them? You can't just... Foom, foom.
Yeah. It always makes me think about Joffrey, Game of Thrones, with his crossbow. And how you remember how long it took him to load that thing in and get that to shoot? And I know Daryl's using a more modern version of a crossbow, but still, those things aren't, you know, real quick to load and fire, but they don't kind of...
Plus, I think it kind of balances with everyone else with their knives and guns. I mean, he can stay back a little bit more
and he's
while they're up knife fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's episode one, really good start to it. Episode two was JSS, which the acronym was what, Just Survive Somehow or something like that?
Something like that.
And this was the big Enid episode where she ate the turtle at the beginning.
That part turned me on a little bit.
She's 16.
She's 16, why she's in a turtle.
It turned me on.
And this was the one where we had someone come in and we met basically the new, because Pete was the town doctor or town surgeon, and we meet, Denise is the name of the...
I think that was her name.
And we see her, and the biggest line from that, what I remember from her, was when Eugene confronted her and basically told her, you don't want to be the coward. And I thought that was pretty cool for him to, you know.
Yeah.
I'm already calling it. Is that supposed to be like his love interest in the show, you think?
No, I don't think anyone's really going to fall in love with Eugene.
Or Denise.
Well, I like They always say there's someone for everyone. Not always.
Yeah, that's true.
Not always, but
No, Eugene's the guy that like peeks in the windows.
yeah.
So, I guess I'm Eugene then.
Except without the mad hair game. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true. And let's see, JSS, that like got a little more into can't remember the damn kid's name, but Pete's oldest son. There's
Yeah.
kind of like a whole love rift between Carl,
You got
him.
your Twilight thing going on there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at
Yeah, man.
that. 'Cause then
He shouldn't be mentioned in the same sentence.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
because this was the episode okay, 'cause the first okay, episode one left off with the cliffhanger of the horn, right?
Yep.
Right.
We got the horn going. GSS takes place of what's happening in the town to make the horn go off.
Shortly before the horn goes off.
Yeah. And then once it does go, it's the conspiracy theory of was it Enid that made it happen and all that stuff? Is she a wolf or not? I'm not buying that theory at all. I don't think she's part of that group.
I don't either.
I think she's just going through, and we'll get to that later, but in regards to here is not here, she's
I
going
think
through.
she's just becoming a woman.
Well, yeah. I was gonna go with a PS, was it post-traumatic stress disorder? That's what I was gonna go with.
That's probably more realistic
Because
than.
she did watch her mom get killed in front of her. I thought that might be the
Yeah,
reason why
that
it
part was
triggered.
kind of interesting. Her parents, like,
Yeah.
get back in the car, honey. And then it flashes back to her just looking at him getting eaten.
You see, it's those parts of the show that really I think separate it from others, where they'll give some time to show the motivation of why a character is the way they are. And
Yeah.
again, it was only what? 5, 10 minutes of the beginning of the episode, kind of showing her
Yeah, it was
small
like the
arc, her
first ten
origin story.
minutes.
And
Yep.
I find that though it didn't progress the story forward, which is a big debate amongst whether or not you like an episode or not, is there action? Does it move the story forward? Although it didn't move it forward, it went back to give you the glimpse of why that character is the way they are, and it helps give you an explanation of how they got to where they're at, and we'll go forward from there. But no, I liked it all. Morgan came, but when Morgan came back, he was badass.
How like much of a letdown is it though? You're like, out there eating turtles, you're getting just ran at by walkers, you're dirty, you probably smell, then you finally make it to a town and your love interest is fucking Carl.
I don't think that's a love interest yet. I don't think that's.
I
They're hinting at
disagree.
it.
I
They're
disagree.
hinting at it, but they didn't do anything,
No,
man.
I disagree, because I think you might have missed a line that they said an episode ago, because she said, you can see almost every part of this place and except for that corner. And so to me that kind of insinuated that she and Carl did the deed. I think Carl lost his V card to Enid. And you know what? Good for you, Carl.
Would it be Carl? Would it be Buddy?
But then she up and left him. Yeah. She's like, oh, but I found a more attractive boy in the next house.
And here's something I thought interesting that they didn't touch on, especially with it being a teenage girl at 16, was her trying to survive on her own in that world, especially with groups like the wolves out there.
Without tampons?
Well, that's a, yeah, I guess. But the whole, not, and plus not knowing how to really protect herself, she's not a
Yeah.
fighter. I kind of find it crazy that she was able to get through a few days without running into another group and the worst of humanity coming about. We'll say that, and I'll leave it at
I think
that.
she's shown though that she can blend in pretty well. Like,
Yes.
she found the hole in the tree and took Carl
Yeah.
into it when the walkers were coming by.
Yeah, I guess you're right
And
about
she'd
that.
like set up a board if she knew walkers were coming and she'd like crouch
Yeah.
behind it and sit. She knows. She knows, man. She knows.
All right, and then okay, that kind of leaves us where we basically they fight off the wolves, and then we flash back in episode three, back to the fact that Rick's group that was leading the herd away, he's sending basically he sent Morgan back, and they're all running to get back to Alexandria to again help secure the wall again, I guess, and then. When we saw Daryl last, Daryl hooked back up with Abraham and help me out. Tyrese's sister. What's her name?
Oh.
I can't remember right now off the top of my head. But they are still leading the majority of the herd away. But I don't know. Did they really give us a good glimpse of how much of the herd is really heading back towards Alexandria that broke off from the main herd?
I think they were implying that a lot of it was still there.
Okay.
And that they sent the other people kind of running along to kind of lure them back, I think.
And plus eliminate the sound of the horn, I'm sure. You know, it's
like, yeah, hey, Sasha.
Sasha, there you go. Good. But there's got to be, they're sending them back to say, hey, we got to stop the noise. Obviously, if it went off for that long, there's something wrong. Otherwise, they would have found a way to stop it.
See, I think Morgan was the only one that went back, and the others went because they were kind of, I think they were trying to lead the ones that went off the main road mm-hmm. back to the road.
Well, he sent Morgan back, but then we had Rick. I guess Rick was going after the trailer or the RV.
Yeah, and I think he was supposed to meet everybody.
Them. He's like, I guess he's trying to cut off the herd and try to divert them back to the main herd, the part
I
that
think
broke
so.
Off.
Yeah.
So we had that part, and the big part of thank you. What's the name of the episode? It was all important, and we all got to see some of the story moving forward. But if you were to ask me right now, I'd give you a lot of details about the episode. Obviously, I couldn't give you much more than Rick running back. But then everything's overcasted by the Glenn plot point.
Yeah, because you kind of lose the fact that they had like Heath and a couple other people from Alexandria and lost all of them but two, I think.
Because well, it was Heath, the guy I can't remember that got shot in the leg, and then it was Michonne. And it was showing them surviving.
Yeah.
Because basically, oh, okay, the most important part was Heath overhearing Rick tell Michonne and Morgan, basically, and Glenn, no matter what, they're the most important. They need to be the ones to get back. That means having to leave people behind, which is...
Like the girl that hurt her ankle?
Yeah.
Why did she just not stay in the pet shop? It's like, hold on, I can outrun these 2,000 walkers real quick.
Well, I guess when you're in that situation, protection in numbers, I guess, not wanting to leave the people that you're like, hey, I don't want to leave.
I would have just shut myself in that room.
She made it like 10 feet and then fell.
Yeah, she did. She's like, just leave me behind. And everybody's like, we will.
Surprised they didn't push her
out
first.
Don't worry, we're going to do that. Exactly. Yeah. But, okay, so then... Yeah, and the joke, of course, was when you saw Heath and Michonne and nameless other guy. The black people survived. I was very happy. For the first time, you saw a whole group of them surviving that episode. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Finally. Because what, we had T-Dog. He was gone right away. Then you had Tyrese. And then, I don't really
you
remember.
You had a couple prisoners, too.
Yeah, and a couple of the prisoners. They didn't make it out. But
you had the skinny dude that worked at the hospital.
Oh, Noah. We had Noah. Yeah, Noah. He didn't survive.
Yeah, like the three guys show looked at each other and go, oh shit, this is gonna be the only scene we're all in.
But they made it out together, and I was like, that's awesome. Way to be writers. Way to be.
See, through the first three episodes, there was one thing I really liked and one thing I didn't like.
Okay.
And I liked how they split the group off. And they focused one episode on half the group, the next episode on the other half the group, and tied it all together. And I thought that worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
The thing I didn't like is it seemed like at the beginning of each episode, they introduced an Alexandrian just to kill him off by the end of the episode. Because in the first one, you had an Embry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then had a couple of other ones on episode three.
Worse with the one ones we were just talking about, the one girl that got bit, or not bit, but got something.
Sprained her ankle.
Yeah, something with her ankle. And then the other guy, he did get killed off, though. It was just those two, right? But there was some other ones. Oh, there was
the guy with the note. The
And the that met his wife died, but he met somebody in Alexandria. That's right. But yeah, I mean, I guess that goes back to your point that we discussed previously where we haven't had of major death, and what I mean by that is one of the main cast of Rick's group, basically. Since I think Joe, you said it last time, no one since Beth, is that right? Or am I missing somebody?
And
I didn't even feel like she was that major of a character because she was always in the background. She never was out fighting or facing the danger.
Yeah.
Chewie stared wide-eyed and confused at the camera.
I don't think there was any other look that she had, to be honest with you.
She was.
Or singing it to the baby.
Yeah. So, and then the major thing, of course, is the Glenn dumpster scene with Nicholas, which I'm curious. I want to get Joe's take on this, because I don't think, Joe, we've talked about this. Me, Jay, and Bobby talked about this on email for some length.
I thought Bobby hated the show.
He does hate the show. Even though he says he doesn't, he hates
it. But he still watches it every week.
But he still watches
it.
Right. Well, like I think he told me, he goes, well, man, you've been watching over 5 seasons. You got to keep watching.
But we've all got our theories. And actually, Parker had a good he gave some good analysis, too, on this. But I want to hear your take on what you think happened and what you think they Glenn probably should have done in that situation.
Or what do I think is going to happen?
All the above. Because go ahead.
So what's the guy's name that shot himself? I forgot.
Nicholas.
Nicholas. So I do believe that was him getting ripped up. And I thought that immediately when it happened too. Cause I'm like, why is Glenn still able to scream like that? You know? And it did show blood getting all over him, but that wasn't obviously necessarily his. So what he could do in theory, or what could happen, I think if he has just enough time, he could jump up maybe inside the dumpster, not under it, hide, and maybe some sort of noise or somebody happens to show up, divert them away, and he eventually gets out. So I think that could happen. But I also agree with a bunch of people in the fact that he's laying there screaming. There's, hundreds in that little alleyway with him. And I know they're ripping the guy apart on top of him, probably. They would notice him screaming, too. And even then, even if they didn't, even if he got up, I don't know how he'd make it. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, yeah, he was laying there with his face completely exposed.
Yeah. And like a lot of people said, that's not enough time. You're not going to smell like a zombie because the guy getting ripped apart wasn't turned or anything, you know? So I don't know. Seems like he was ripe for the picking there.
Well, do you agree do you think that Glenn should have pushed Nicholas off to save himself? Or is that totally against his character?
I don't know, man. At that point, every man for himself.
Yeah, see, that's the way I feel, too.
Yeah.
But, one of the things I said was when you look around in that scene, there was wooded area on the fence
right,
to the back of Nicholas. My question was, in that situation, there was two courses of action they could have done. One, what you said before, was get inside the dumpster, if anything, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if the walkers would be cognizant enough to know to lift a lid, you know?
Yeah. Although velociraptors can open doors, so I don't know.
Once we have zombie velociraptors, which would probably be one of the best movies ever,
right?
I'll have to wait for that movie to come out. But also, when Parker said, and I'd said the same thing, I said, why didn't they just go for the woods over there and just climb the fence? And I think, Jay, you'd said the same thing Parker said, was, well, if anything, scale the fence and make your way all the way around the perimeter. Because that alley, I think, I don't remember if the fence went all the way around the alley, but you could at least scaled it to the top and at least had some time to recoup and plan a course of action from there.
Right.
And why they didn't do that, again, of course, such a dramatic part of, did Glenn die or not, but there were some things that they could have done. And as far as my theory of how he gets out of it, it's either getting under the dumpster or getting inside the dumpster. Because I agree with you, it's not him getting eaten, it's Nicholas on top of him getting eaten. And there's going to have to be a fire or a loud noise. Or, Jay, I'll let you have the thunder for the theory of the Jesus. Go for it.
Yeah, Jesus shows up and makes a diversion to get him out.
And Joe, he doesn't mean the divine Jesus there, by the way.
The clouds part, the sun shines down, and
he's like, "I'm only sparing you, my son."
He's gonna part the zombie sea. No, we're not gonna do that. but no, Jay, yeah, go ahead and give a little detail on that.
Yeah, in the comic, Jesus is kind of like what Aaron was doing, going out and recruiting people to join Alexandria.
And so there's a possible character that's coming around. And again, the whole debunking the Glenn's not dead theory was there are pictures online of Glenn filming future episodes.
Yeah. And so,
with Jesus.
And I didn't watch it, but I guess on Talking Dead, they didn't show him in the death credits.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, he was not in the credits for last night's episode.
Yeah, and as far as the intro credits, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could also just be the writers purposely.
Oh, yeah, they're just messing with us. I guarantee they're just messing with people. They're having a good old time with all this.
So have you seen the theory that saying Nicholas daydreamed at all?
I think you'd mentioned it. I haven't read it.
Yeah, people are saying he was daydreaming because throughout the episode they showed him kind of staring off into space.
Right.
It's like when he's going into an extreme stress situation and Glenn's snapping him out of it kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but I always felt like if they were going to do that, they probably would have shown his little hallucinations earlier in the episode before just doing it there.
Yeah.
Plus, he was listed on Talking Dead as dying.
Yeah, see, that's why I think he's really... Man, that would be really weird. Just, I don't know. It's a good theory. It would be an interesting way to write around the issue, right?
Yeah.
I think that would be honestly pretty lame.
Yeah. I think Nicholas, it was his time to go. I don't know if he's really going to push the story anywhere. I think he'd served his purpose. I don't know. I'm of the belief Glenn gets out of it by going underneath the dumpster, I think. Because I don't think he... Again, Joe, I agree with you. Probably the smartest thing would do to be get inside the dumpster, but I just don't know how he's going to be able to push the Nicholas off of him and be able to push his way up into it with all those walkers on top of him.
And weren't they all around him at that point?
Yeah, it looked well.
No,
pretty close.
Yeah, I thought they were pretty much pinned to the back of the dumpster at that point. But
yeah, except I thought when he was laying on the ground, there was nobody actually behind his head, so he still had a little bit of room. But I don't know. I didn't even notice either if the dumpster had any room to spare underneath it. But what's going to be funny is we're all sitting here talking about this dumpster and all this shit, and probably none of that's going to happen.
And then the other big part in that was they left with Rick kind of in trouble with the wolves. Because what they said, one of the wolves, when they came to the RV, he had to kill
them
in the RV. Right. And when he searched their bodies, he found baby food.
Yep.
Which led him to believe, going, oh, hey, where they get the baby food from? They got it from Alexandria. And then due to the fact that there's a lot of gunfire, and basically I guess he was at that cross section again where he's supposed to be leading the walkers away, they were going to come right at him, and the engine on the RV would not start.
Right.
So I'm very interested on how we're going to see him get out of that situation.
Yeah, it's the same.
We all know he's going to get out of it. It's just a matter of, I'm really curious how he does get out of it.
Didn't he learn from Dale's RV?
Well, it never started. It was always the radiator hose, though. Nothing else broke on the RV except for the radiator hose, I'm telling you, every single time.
And if you guys noticed, that shot was the same shot of him being in the tank from episode one, the way they panned out and everything.
Oh, was that on purpose, or was it just kind of a coincidence?
That was just something I noticed.
Oh,
I
really? Mean,
yeah, okay. It was kind of like in Breaking Bad when they zoom out on Walter White, spoiler alert, when he dies, spoiler alert. I think they purposely did that to mimic the end of Lost, too.
Yeah.
So, I think, yeah, they do that stuff on purpose. But, yeah, I noticed that right when it happened. I'm like, man, this is just like when he was caught in the tank.
And so I think he'll get out of it. Obviously, he's going to get out of it. Because if you watch the preview for next week, after episode 4, you hear him yelling at open the wall kind of thing. So
well, that was my question. That was Rick's voice, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was definitely his voice.
Okay, yeah.
So let's get to the reason why we got together tonight was because a lot of, not even controversy, but a lot of discussion on last night's episode. Because you had, like Joe had said, we had a lot of action from last season till episode 3 of this season. It was pretty much nonstop. And I thought it was great. Great run of shows.
The end of episode 3 was probably the most talked about.
Of any of them. Yeah,
and
yeah.
So what do you get? You get the Terrence and Phillip episode of South Park right after it. Like, who's Cartman's mom? Oh, here's April Fool's.
Yeah. But, okay, so episode 4, Morgan-centric, Morgan's origin story. Right. Well, not even his, but from what happened from episode what was named Clear to when he was on his journey to Terminus, kind of giving us his story of what happened between Clear on his journey to Terminus and to when he finally got to Alexandria and met back up with Rick. Most of the complaints I read about the episode was that it was slow and it didn't move the story forward. That
It
was
actually
the main
wasn't a
part of it.
terrible episode, but there was almost no reason to throw it in the middle of all that. It was like a filler episode.
That's what it felt like to me too, and I felt like it was a slow episode, and they do that every so often, and I have no problem with it. But it's an hour and a half episode after one of the biggest things that's happened in the last year on the show,
Yeah.
and it just felt like it killed the momentum.
They do that on purpose, obviously, because they're going to want you to go, hey, you got to keep coming back to come see what happens to Glenn. I mean, that's just
Yeah. I
the
didn't expect
main.
the Glenn stuff to be talked about anyway, the way they've
Yeah.
been
No.
And, well, because they're flat, they're flipping, like you'd said before, they're flipping from one group to the other group, from the Alexandria group to the group, basically Rick's group, right?
Right.
So,
And they leave you
like,
the one little cookie at the end of Rick screaming at the gate. That was
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I will say this, I like these episodes. I'm big into character development. I like to know all the story. I like getting as much details as possible to show you what's the motivation behind a character and their actions. So these kinds of episodes, I don't mind. I can see the complaint being, hey, this was a 90-minute episode, which I wish all these episodes were 90-minute episodes, because I'm all for the more The Walking Dead, the better. Because, again, what else is there on TV that's much better than what we're getting here? This is just one of those few shows that's still really higher echelon show. And I thought the acting was really good in it. The guy that played the so we see Morgan, and he's basically still in his clear mode, we'll say, where his only purpose is to kill as many walkers as he can, because he feels that's his, I think they kind of go into the detail saying he was doing that because this was going to be his way out. That he could keep doing it, and finally one day he would mess up, and he could finally, because he wouldn't kill himself, but he would basically, in a roundabout way, do that by doing the whole killing all the walkers thing.
Right. Did
But they.
anybody think well, I'm probably bouncing around, sorry.
No, you're
But
fine.
I was
You're
say,
talking about Eastman, right?
yeah, did anybody
Yeah.
think Eastman was Crichton Dallas Wilton?
That's the first thing I thought. As
Yeah.
soon as the story, because once we get there, because basically it was he locked the guy that found Morgan, or sorry, Morgan came upon him while he was out scavenging. Basically, he found Eastman's cabin in the woods, and Eastman was just some guy living in the woods, surviving, and he knocked him out. And when Morgan wakes up, he's in a cell in the guy's cabin. And not very why then you have to the first thing you go when I saw it was, what the hell does this guy have a cell in his cabin for? There needs to be a story behind that to give us an explanation for that, and they did a good job of explaining it. Joe, you go ahead and give the detail of that.
What, the cell?
Yeah, why the cell was there, because I thought, because the story was awesome. I was riveted by that whole interaction between Morgan and Eastman at the dinner table, giving the explanation behind the cell.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess. Oh, sorry, I was watching a potentially big play. I just don't like losing a J. No, so basically, Eastman, long story short, his wife and I think two children,
Yep,
correct?
daughter and son, yeah.
Daughter and son. Eastman used to work in a prison as basically a counselor or rehab, and he'd talk to the worst of the worst. He said there was one guy that he always talked to that seemed to be somewhat of a model prisoner, yet he could see right through him. And the moment he saw right through him, he got the shit beat out of him by this guy. And this guy ends up breaking out of prison just to kill Eastman's wife and children, and for the sole purpose of ruining his life.
And the part I liked about it best was he says he went back to the police, turned himself in. It was a very detective moment.
Yeah, that's what I thought of.
So,
He comes back, still got all the blood all over him. I was like, holy shit, he's Kevin Spacey. But yeah, so then Eastman knows where this guy's gonna be because he, has a little work function on the side of the road planting flowers and all that kind of shit. So he gets the right guys that are working out there at the right time, kidnaps him, takes him back to the home that you see in the episode, and starves him to death over 47 days. And then, from what it sounds like, Eastman was racked with guilt, and he didn't really care at that point. He was going to go turn himself in to the police station, and lo and behold, freaking zombie apocalypse happens.
And the thing is, they never actually tell you what he did until the end of the episode.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they leave you wondering what happened.
Because, well, that's why it made me, like, the way Joe thought, that's why I was like, okay, he's telling this story in such detail. And Eastman was a charmer from the very beginning, as far as, you know, he's in the cult. He was cooking, and he was, you know,
he was way too relaxed, too.
Yeah, very, very relaxed in that situation of, hey, I've got this crazy stranger guy here in my cage, a guy that has a cell in his home, so you'd think he's not right in the head from having that. So, yeah, no, Joe, that was the exact thing I thought was, this guy is the psychopath.
Yeah.
And then you might see Morgan having to fight against this guy from who knows what he had planned for him. I don't know.
Right. And speaking of that guy, another reason just in the back of my head while I'm like, he could be the killer is his name's John Carroll Lynch, the actor's name.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anybody remembers him, but in the movie Zodiac with Jake Gyllenhaal, he's the guy that they believe to be the Zodiac killer at the end. And so always in my head the whole episode, I'm like, man, that's the fucking Zodiac.
Yeah, so, well, I was watching it. Jay said the same thing this morning. All I could think of was he's Drew Carey's brother from the Drew Carey Show.
Oh, yeah, that's all I was thinking. Yep, I forgot about that.
So Mimi and their two kids got killed.
I guess worse than
But, and then, I mean, episode just goes kind of the way, after that point, it kind of went the way I thought it was going to go. Because we know that, at least we get the explanation of how Morgan becomes trained with the bow staff. The guy trains him Aikido and gives him his whole way, you know, way of the kung fu. You know, his way of, you know, I'm peaceful and I don't believe in taking. Yeah, I don't take lives. That's why we see Morgan taking a complete 180 of kill everything and now being very hesitant to be physically violent towards anything unless he absolutely has to. Saying that all life is precious.
Kind of like you guys touched on, though. It's another one of those irritating episodes where you see a character like Eastman, who was kind of interesting, and he's, you know, he's dead by the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. He's just like Nick Papagiorgio. Just going to introduce him to you and kill him off.
That served the purpose, but it gave you the background of why basically Morgan was able to save himself from his basically madness. Kill, and finally he found purpose again, and he knew that he was going to go out and find more people and rejoin society, basically.
Yeah, and a lot of people disagree with me, but I think Morgan's just kind of an annoying character on the show. He's constantly just, he's got an inner struggle. I get it, so does everybody else.
Yeah, well, but, join- that, but Jay, you'll agree with me, has he become the moral compass of the show?
He has, and I think he plays it better than they did with, like, Dale.
Yeah. Well, Dale became annoying. He became very annoying. I don't find Morgan annoying. He's been one of the strongest characters. It's just aggravating.
Because there's action going on. He's like, you all need to leave here.
Yeah.
Go on, get.
And then, at the end of this episode, with the one wolf that he's talking to.
Yeah.
And the fact that wolf says, you know, hey, he basically does the psychopath take of things where I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill women, I'm going to kill the children. As soon as he says he's going to kill children, that's when Morgan has to step up and take this guy out.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And, you know, I was kind of...
So that was the same one he attacked in the house and they made you believe he killed him, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he just knocked him out.
Yep.
Yeah. Because he looked at him or something. He goes, I'm sorry, or something like that.
Yeah, I just assumed he killed him.
Do we lose Matt, or is Matt still there?
No, I just muted myself because I was coughing my brains out.
Oh, okay. now I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, I was just kind of flipping through reading people's comments. So the wolves, I'm assuming they have a leader, correct?
There's theories.
I don't think they would in the TV version of everything. I think they're just a band of people that believe in nothing but chaos. suicidal.
Kind of like
And
Fight Club. They're like the Fight Club of The Walking
Project
Dead.
Mayhem.
Yeah,
Yeah, I like it.
Project
Mayhem.
Yeah, Project Mayhem. There you go. I like that. Good. Yeah, we'll go with that. So, me, let's go around the table. I like the episode. I like these kind of episodes. I see no problem with it because I know the story is going to move forward. We already saw that the story is going to move forward because at the very end, we know that they have the threat of that one wolf still in custody. There's going to be the issue that they're going to deal with Morgan saying, hey, you're keeping this hidden from everybody here. And if that wolf does happen to come out and kill someone, especially of importance, let's say he gets out and kills, what's her name?
Deanna.
No. Is it Jessie? The one that Pete, the Pete's wife that he knows.
Jesse.
So let's say
Or
that
Judith,
wolf,
even.
well, let's say that wolf gets out and kill. Yeah, he kills either Jesse's youngest son or gets a hold of Judith, and they'll go, "Hey, Morgan, you didn't kill this guy. Your code caused the death of a child." And I would think that'd be somewhere they could go with this.
Then he whips out The Art of Peace and says, "You need to read this."
So I think that that's where it's going to go. The story is moving forward. Rick's going to be back in the city at that point. And where they go from there, I don't know.
I
I
think
guess.
there's a probably a good chance you don't even see Glenn in the next episode.
Well, I think that eventually, you're going to see the rescue mission to go after Glenn and the rest of the group, right? I
Yeah.
think that's what's going to have to be.
Well, it's probably going to be that Michonne gets back with Keith and the other guy. And they're going to start wondering where Glenn's at and go on and find him.
Well, I think we
And
would.
I think they're implying that with Maggie.
Yeah, she's going to go out on the recce, right? So at least she's going to want to leave on her own, but Rick will go with her, I'm pretty sure, right? So, I don't know. You guys go around. What do you guys go? Enjoyed it, didn't enjoy it. Where do you think they're going to go from here?
I enjoyed the episode, but it was the worst one of the season so far. I mean, but it wasn't even close to being one of the worst overall. It was just kind of like, eh, you go from all this action and build up, and then you're like, oh, cool, it's an hour and a half of Morgan.
And I really felt they could have done that in a 60-minute episode. If
Yeah.
you want, you make it 90 minutes, that's fine, but like, show more of either what's going on in Alexandria and how it ties into everything he went through at the cabin, or maybe fast forward to Terminus and show like his reaction to seeing all the mayhem that's been left behind.
Right.
Overall, again, there's worse stuff out there. I think there's a lot worse episodes of other TV shows out there where I don't mind them doing this because they're still flipping back and forth between the two groups, and eventually we're gonna get them back all onto one main line of moving forward.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a bad episode. It was just kind of in comparison to all the others recently, you're just
Because
kind of like, eh.
there was the lack of action in this one. There just was no action, and all the other ones were
Yeah.
just
And there was
non-stop
really there was
action.
only two people in this episode, really. I mean,
Yeah.
shit. Except for the first, I mean, walkers don't count. Except for the first two at the beginning that Morgan kills, you know.
Two people and a goat.
That's right.
Two guys and a goat.
I've watched some.
It does not sound right.
I've went to Mexico and paid money to see that.
There you go, Jay. There's the title of this episode.
Two guys,
Two guys and a
interspecies
goat.
erotica.
Two guys, one goat.
I'm Jay. Jay, gotta do the I'm Kelly line. Oh man. So yeah, I think we should try. I think that's what we're gonna try to aim for. Maybe try to do a quick recap every week or every couple weeks, let a few episodes go by, or whenever we can get together on Skype and discuss the previous week's episode.
Right. Maybe if Toner ever gets on it and starts watching it again, he can
I
start
would
talking.
hope he can catch up, man, because yeah, what is this? Is this 71 total episodes? I think is where we're at right now. That's kind of crazy. The show's been around that long, so
Well, if Tony wants to catch up, he could just listen to these.
yeah, because we spoiled it. Oh yeah, Jay, we might want to do something. Do we want to put like a huge spoiler warning on this to not
Yeah, I'll
listen to
have
this if you
this.
haven't watched? Yeah, good stuff. I'm always glad to discuss the show. I love discussing this one. It's one of those you can kind of break down and talk about all the minor details, and every little detail means something. It's not exactly the Breaking Bad or Lost of television where every single small detail will play out later
Oh
on,
yeah,
but
people overanalyze
oh
stuff
yeah,
too.
which this is the show's getting to that point where people have completely overanalyzed, but it's still fun. It's fun to do.
Yeah, man. It was a good one. It was a good episode.
So, all right. I guess I don't know how we again, I'm always bad at how we end this episode when we don't have Toner doing his outro.
I mean, I can do a quick outro if you want.
I guess unless we have like what is this? This is what we'll call this, Jay. This can't because we haven't done 19 yet. Cause the last one was 18.5. What was this 18.75? I don't remember what to
Sure,
call this.
that
Yeah,
works.
that's good.
So yeah, let's go out with an outro of 18.75.
I always feel like a dork because I can't remember. It's the inside voice. What?
Inside joke, outside voice.
Oh,
We
shit.
gotta, yeah, we gotta come up with a different network name,
Need to write that down on
dude.
my hand.
IJOV.net.
IJOV.net. Yeah, there you
All right. I don't know. You guys done? Is this it?
go. Yeah, I think we covered. We did a man. That's a. Jay, I think we wanted to go with like 20, 30 minutes. Where are we at, Joe, on our recording here?
Well, lopping
Hour?
off the seven, man, we were what, 18 minutes until we started in, so
Yeah.
it's gone 54 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's because we did a big recap of not just the one episode. And now that we've gone through a lot of that from this point forward, they probably won't be as long. When we just go maybe an episode or two at a time.
Word.
So, hopefully, the audience will like our interpretation. Maybe we get some comments on this on the iTunes. I think that'd be nice if we get people dropping their opinion on the show and
Oh
whatnot.
yeah,
So,
we'll tag The Walking Dead. It's cool.
or throw it on the website.
yeah, there you go. And then, of course, I'm sure when we put the episode title of Two Guys and a Goat, we'll see what kind of people come out
Two guys, it's just gotta be two guys, one goat. Just like that. Just like the video I've never seen. Well, don't know. You guys want to sign off?
Yeah, Joe, go ahead and let's outro this bad boy. Go for it.
Well, I was gonna say, do you guys want to say your salutations?
Oh, Excelsior! I'll go with that. This is Nerdcast
Excelsior!
Matt. Nerdcast Matt saying adios.
And non-cripple Jay saying bye.
Now I'm Cripple J, back to 100. Underline, underline. All right, and I'm Joe Dust. We were without sound guy Steve and Toner. Toner has probably been in bed for at least an hour, and Steve is out drinking on his girlfriend's dime. So hey, who else decides to take the reins on this Walking Dead episode? So you've been listening to the Nerdcast podcast, part of the Inside Joke Outside Voice Network. You can find us at nyrdcast.com, which is Nerdcast with a Y. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, or basically
Instagram.
Instagram. And what's my other favorite? TuneIn Radio
There
as well.
you
TuneIn's extremely easy to use. So basically, anywhere you want to listen to your podcast, that's where we be.
And if you want to get really intimate with the sound guy Steve, maybe we'll put that one picture on Instagram if we haven't already done that.
I have a properly edited butt shot of Sound Guy Steve throw up there. It's called One Guy, One Cowboy.
Gouge my eyes out again.
Yeah, I know. So that's it. So thanks for listening to episode 18.75. Two guys, one goat. Again, we are Nerdcast signing off.
See ya.
Boom.